Hi there, I'm Jonah, and I'm here to tell you about my extraordinary life. Before anything else, though, don't forget to subscribe. Give this video a thumbs up and hit that notification bell icon to show your support for me. I found out about my powers by accident. If it wasn't for my best friend Herb, I wouldn't have known I sleepwalked. And if he hadn't recorded me doing the things I did, I'd have lived my whole life never knowing. Herb invited me over to his place one night. It was nothing special, just a sleepover after spending the whole weekend gaming and partying while his parents were out. Herb and I had been friends for a long time, but we never spent the night at each other's houses before. So it was both exciting and kinda awkward. What made it strange was when I woke up in the middle of the night with my best friend in panic.
Jonah! Jonah, wake up! Wake up or I'm gonna throw this bucket at you!
It was a strange sensation. I knew I was asleep, but I could hear him. And more strangely, I could feel what he said. I willed myself awake from my sleep. But as soon as I blinked my eyes open, I realized it was too late. I saw a bucket full of water floating in the air as if it was in slow motion. And in a split second, before I could even blink, I was doused in cold, shudder-inducing water.
What'd you do that for? Look! Look what you're doing! Look around you!
And so, I did. The first thing I noticed was that I was standing in the middle of my friend's bedroom. How did that happen? I could swear I was asleep not 2 seconds ago. Why would I be up and about? The second thing I noticed was stranger still. Behind me was a fully grown, impressive stag. Its antlers were so large, they grazed the ceiling. And on its antlers were perched an owl, a crow, and a few other birds I struggled to name. There was a snake dangling from Herb's floor lamp.
Stop it! Make it stop!
I stood there, frozen. What did he mean, make it stop? Did I cause this? But I hardly had time to answer my own questions as I saw the snake slithering towards me. And then, the massive stag followed suit. The owl and the other birds began to flap their wings. The shock and the fear of the moment overtook me. All I remember was that the room got dark. And I remembered falling to the floor, losing consciousness. As soon as I plunged into unconsciousness, it was like I'd gone to a different dimension. Once again, I could feel everything that happened around my unconscious body. I realized the animals weren't trying to attack me, they were just annoyed.
"Why'd you call us here?" they seemed to all ask.
Meanwhile, Herb had the most intense emotions of them all. I could feel him cowering and crying in the corner of the room. His heart was about to burst with fear. In that otherworldly dimension, I apologized to the animals and politely asked them to leave. That was when I woke up again. This time, I found myself standing by the open window. I saw Herb still in a corner, wildly brandishing a baseball bat at nothing with his eyes closed.
What just happened?
Herb told me all he saw. He saw me sleepwalking, and the moment I got up, weird sounds began to happen outside of his room. And then, the birds came swooping in through the open window. The stag broke down the front door and kicked the bedroom door open. That was when the rest of the animals followed it in. He told me my sleepwalking must have had something to do with it, because as soon as I collapsed and began sleepwalking again, the animals did what I wanted. We put that theory to a test. That same night, we barricaded the house and waited till I fell asleep again. And I found out he was right. When I sleepwalked, I felt exactly the feelings Herb and I agreed he should feel, so we confirmed our experiment. It turned out, I had powers that only activated when I would sleepwalk. I could hear what animals and humans felt. Sounds like a mostly useless and inconvenient power, right? But hey, it's come in handy. Because I later found out that not only could I hear their emotions, I could also communicate with them telepathically. So, in some cases, I could get animals to do what I ask, if I asked nicely. The only catch was, and it was a very specific catch, I had to be asleep and sleepwalking. Weeks later, I also found out that my power had another dimension. It gave my brain the ability to absorb any knowledge by power of osmosis when I was sleeping. So, I began to put my school books and research material under my pillow. And in the morning, I would know all I needed to know to crush at school. Finally, something useful, I thought. I had always just been skating by at school. My school was pretty much a school for geniuses.
and I was the only one who was average. But thanks to my powers, my grades improved. And although my IQ level stayed the same, by the end of the school year, I had the best grades among all of them. Near perfect. Too perfect that a lot of other students began to complain and demanded that the school investigate whether or not I was cheating. They tried every possible setup to find out if I was. They made me take tests in a windowless room by myself, with my phone confiscated after being thoroughly searched. They even installed CCTV cameras so they could watch me from every angle. I finished the exam within 10 minutes and got a perfect score. The previous girl, who was at the top of the class, Tiana, was furious that I'd unseated her. "Clearly, he's doing some kind of cheating. The guy has an IQ of 98. I don't even understand why he's allowed to be at this school." Then, another student who had been watching the results with the rest of the crowd stepped up.
"I think it's pretty cool. He may have an average IQ, but he's clearly beating you."
She was beautiful. Her name was Cheyenne, and I knew that because she sat next to me in chemistry. I always had the biggest crush on her, and when she spoke up for me, my crush on her only grew. Tiana was not amused.
"Ugh, he's stupid, and you should know that. Or are you all just as stupid as him? Ugh, I hate this friggin' school. I swear, my father will hear about this."
She stamped out of the room in a fit. She threw a tantrum all the way out of the school, pushing anyone and anything that got in her way. The teachers got the brunt of her fury. She even threatened to have them all fired if they couldn't prove that I was cheating my grades. But the school year came and went, and nobody was able to prove anything. If they found out I was winning through magic, nobody would believe it anyway. The good thing that came out of all that fuss was that Tiana was expelled. I would have felt bad for her, but she'd always picked on me for having a lower IQ than everyone else. She would always humiliate me and say horrible things about me to our teachers. So when my crush finally reported her for blackmailing the teachers and telling them to suspend me, the school decided she had caused enough trouble. And yeah, her father did hear about her antics in the end. Let's just say he was not pleased with them at all. He sent her away. Now, Tiana lives with her aunt in a remote farm in Greenland where she gets to spend her days staring at snow. I thought that was the end of my troubles. Until one evening, just before graduation, I found Cheyenne in the trunk of my car. I'd just gotten home from doing a grocery run and was about to grab the paper bags when I found her there, in the fetal position between the milk and a bunch of lettuce.
What? What are you doing here?
Cheyenne put a finger on her lips and told me to shut up.
You have to help me. Please. Please, you have to hide me.
When someone you know, especially if it's someone you like a lot, asks for your help, you help them and ask questions later. So I hopped back into the driver's seat, drove into my garage where no one could see us, and I shut the garage doors before I opened my trunk again.
Thank you. You have no idea. You've saved me.
Cheyenne began to tell me that she was a spy, that she was in hiding, and that was why she was posing as a regular student. But the people who were after her had finally caught up to her. Before she could even tell me more, I heard tires screeching outside my house. I peeked through a hole in the garage door to see what was happening, and outside, there were a bunch of women all dressed in black. We ran. I knew that neighborhood like the back of my hand, so I ran through the secret alleys and passageways with Cheyenne in tow. Even with their cars, they couldn't possibly catch us. But a few of them went on foot. We finally reached the nearby train station, and we jumped through the barriers. We just made it a mere millisecond before the doors closed. The train was packed. We looked back to see a bunch of women in black talking into their earpieces, likely informing their bosses that we'd escaped them. Cheyenne and I thought we'd made it. But I barely had time to ask her about what's happening when our train stopped again. We looked out. And in the darkness, I saw people surrounding the train. Who were they? Why were they after her? And how did they have the ability to stop the train as they pleased? I never did find out the answers. At that moment, I noticed a barn in the distance. I registered that we were near a farm, and so I thought, if my powers were to ever be useful, that was the time. I turned to Cheyenne.
Make me sleep. Right now!
What? What do you mean? You want me to sing you a lullaby or something? Why?
No, you don't understand. You have to knock me out cold. Right now.
When I woke up, I was on a horse with Cheyenne clutching me from behind. I didn't see anything that happened, but Cheyenne told me. As soon as I was out cold, I got back up again. She heard horses neighing and galloping. Cows stampeded towards the drain and crowded around us. We got on a horse and the cows attacked the women in black and served as our defense as we escaped. We live in a remote island now. Cheyenne still hasn't told me who those people were. I spend my days talking to animals and helping out local farmers. And everyone thinks I'm crazy. But hey, Cheyenne and I are happy.